just so nice that we can sing and tune in with all our hearts, even though the text is perhaps not known to all of us. We are, of course, gathered internationally, and the choruses are also sometimes different. But we thank the Lord that we can sing unto Him for His glory, that we can express what we really feel. And this we are doing so long until we will sing then the new song up there, as it is announced already in the book of Revelation, as it was actually sung already in advance, and then we will sing it together. Also today we welcome all of you from near and far, from far and wide, from all over Europe, from Africa, from South America. Brother and Sister Miskis are also here, and I would like to welcome you in a special way. Our brother Papa Miskis, a precious man of God. It is just like this, that all who hear God's word for the first time and who believe it, these are the first fruits. They don't need any more time to think about it, to reason. No, they believe. They believe. And in the moment where they believe, comes revelation. And then it goes from glory to glory and from clarity to clarity. Dear Brother Miskis and precious Sister Miskis, God blessed you visibly. He blessed your sons. All your house is blessed. And God blessed all those who are here today. And I don't want to forget to say today that all from the Czech Republic, from Poland, from Slovakia, from Austria, Italy, Switzerland, France, Belgium, from Holland, from everywhere, from Romania, this comes extra. Romania comes extra. Later on, we will ask Brother Florin that he gives us a short word, just a word of greeting. We are joined with all our brothers and sisters. In Romania, there are really most of the believers, couple of thousands. Alone last weekend, about 6,000 people were listening altogether. When we come to Romania, then there are really thousands here and thousands there, spread in 70 different fellowships all over the country. God has really given grace, great grace He has given from the very beginning. And also there it was like this, that nothing was questioned, but it was believed. And then God has given revelation, and He was helping. We want that all are feeling free, that they are feeling at home in our midst. One brother from Johannesburg, he phoned and he said, "Brother Frank, yesterday we were listening and we were experiencing, and also today we will join you. It's just so nice." And it's getting more and more who are listening to this live stream. Even at their homes, they're listening within their families. It's a wonderful arrangement. And Brother Schmidt, he already expressed it. Very soon the Russian language will also be included in this transmission. And we hope that the number 12 is getting full one day. 12 is also a biblical number. And that we then can serve the people in all the main languages of the world. Serving the people, bringing them God's word. Maybe we sing now the chorus and then we ask Brother Florin to come just to give us a word of greeting, and then we will go into our word observation. Who tells the chorus of you? Pardon? Come from on high. Let us sing, come from on high.
Komm, Geist des Herrn, rausche und wehe, bleib nicht fern. Rausche und wehe, bleib nicht fern. Ja, das ist in der Tat die Verheißung.
Yes, this is really the promise. One can read it in James chapter 5 from verse 7. There it speaks three times of the coming of the Lord, of the former and of the latter rain, and that we should wait patiently until we received the rain. The former rain comes at the sowing time, and the latter rain comes just before the harvest, so that the ripe corn gets nicely full, and so that the sun can shine upon it, and so that the quality becomes very good. We believe that the Lord, as the grain of wheat, died. That's how it is written. And that a rich harvest will be brought in, and the wheat will be gathered into the heavenly garner, as John said it in Matthew 3, and the chaff will of course be burned. The second thought in the prophet Joel, that we will lack nothing in the time of restoration, but we will have a full measure. And to this I have the question, and connected with it, write the answer. Was there ever, in the 2000 years, was there ever such a fullness of the Word of God, of revelation of the Word? Was the table of the Lord in the last 2000 years ever so richly laid and prepared as now? Of course not. It was not even possible. And why not? Because the cankerworm was eating and taking away until everything became bare and bleak. And then the Lord fulfills His promise and restores everything. The tree of the church is blooming and is bearing fruit, and the harvest will be plentiful. Then we have to say the following. Please, don't compare that what is being taught here with what is being taught in other churches, but only with the Word of God. It is necessary, it is just necessary that everything is being compared directly with the Scripture. One example. Just recently, a tract fell into my hands, which was published close to the Dutch border. And the whole tract deals with that Jesus can only return after the great tribulation, and that all who teach that He returns now, before this great tribulation, they are in error. Yes, in error is this man, and that's it. And in error he's therefore, because he uses one scripture which has nothing to do with the return of Christ as bridegroom for the bride. He was referring to Luke 21. Luke 21 from verse 25. Luke 21 from verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Yes, this is a totally different coming than the coming of the bridegroom to take the bride home. He who wants to know it even more precise must read Matthew 24 from verse 29 to know where this coming, of which the Holy Scripture speaks here, where it belongs according to the Scriptures, and where it must be placed. And therefore, brothers and sisters, if we emphasize doctrine here, and when it is being said that one cannot establish any doctrine on just one scripture, I give you now an example. In Luke 21, it's only being said that there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and stars. In Matthew 24, we are told, I read it from verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Yes. Compare it, please. Compare at least the word from Luke. Here it's written, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And he who likes to know it more precise must read Isaiah 13, verse 10. And he who likes to know it more precise must read in Revelation. Revelation in chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 from verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. It doesn't make sense to just take one scripture and to build a doctrine upon it, and not even taking the parallel scriptures which are written in the other Gospels. Just one scripture to take them and to build upon it. Therefore, at this place, God's word is being taught in all truth. We have no own teaching which we must represent. Not so, Brother Graf. We have not one doctrine which we would have to represent, but all this doctrine of the Holy Scripture. And this is the gift of our God in our time. Another example. Brother Branham said, there are three comings of the Lord. The first coming, to redeem the church. The second coming, to take the church home. And the third coming, after the marriage supper, together with the church, to start the millennium. And then the doctrine is invented that altogether there are only these three comings. But these three comings, of which Brother Branham speaks, refer only to the Redeemer and to the redeemed church. Not when he will come to sit onto the throne of his glory. Here, Matthew 25, from verse 31. This is a totally different coming. I'm just mentioning this to show and to say how important it is to have been first taught by God. And I actually don't want to say this here in this connection, but it is really necessary that no one appoints himself, but that he is appointed by God. Who respects today 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28? God has said, that's how it is written, God has said into the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and so forth. God has said. And when God has set a teacher, then the doctrine which he will bring will be the doctrine of God. When it is an apostle, then he will preach the same and do the same as the apostles did. If he is a prophet, then he will agree with the word of prophecy. And also here, we have again the big trouble. Most fellowships that take Hebrews 1 verse 1. God spoke in diverse manners unto the fathers by the prophets. In these last days, he spoke to us by his Son. And then they are finished with everything and say, the apostles were, the prophets were, Christ has come, so everything is finished, full stop. But one must then go into the New Testament and see that God had prophets in the Old Testament to announce the plan of salvation and to announce the Redeemer. And then, of course, the fulfillment happened in the Redeemer. But then, when our Lord says here in Matthew chapter 23, he says, where he gives seven times to the scribes, he gives a lesson. He tells them something. And before he says, Matthew 23, verse 2, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Here's the big difference. One can sit onto the seat of Moses, onto the seat of Christ, onto the seat of Branham. One can sit there. But the question is, has one been set by God to carry out a task in the kingdom of God? And therefore, our Lord said here, in Matthew 23, in verse 34, he said, Matthew 23, verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and scribes and wise men. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. The Lord gave the commission to his own to go from city to city. If they don't receive you in one city, then go into the other city, shake off the dust. And then Paul must report in the book of Acts, especially in chapter 24, that the believers were called a pestilence. They didn't fit anywhere. Here, in Acts chapter 24, this governor Felix took a lawyer to this hearing. That's how it is written here in Acts 24, verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain lawyer. He must be there, and a lawyer must be there, a named Tertullus. But Paul was the accused. The scribes were bringing the lawyer with them, and now it started. Yes. And then this Felix says in verse 5, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Yes, direct court language. Found the right man. We identified the right man. What was it? The blind continued to lead the blind. They did not recognize what God did at their time. And they bypassed Bible prophecy. And him and those who believed the word of the hour and who had part in that, what God was doing, them they called a pestilence and troublemakers. Brothers and sisters, how will it be with us? Will we not have to walk the same way? Will not the door be closed? And we don't want to go into details now, but let us read in Acts 24 from verse 13, the speech of defense. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. And then comes the nice thing. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call sect or heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. This is a wonderful testimony. That I believe, this I confess unto thee, Felix, to you lawyer, you scribes, this I confess before the Lord God with all boldness, that I believe everything what God spoke by the prophets. What would be your answer at the defense? This is your and my answer. And then it continues. One could read and read. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, to us was really given the divine mandate at the end of the time of grace to preach the whole counsel of God in a balanced way, bringing it as a summary to the people of God, to lay the table of the Lord so that all can eat of the hidden manna which the Lord has prepared for us by His grace. Because this is also the difference between, let's say, the 500 years since the Reformation. Already then it went from knowledge to knowledge. And we all know the revival at the time of Reformation was not as deep in the spiritual as the revival under Wesley. And we all know the Pentecost revival was again deeper and again deeper. What wasn't at that time was the revelation, the last book. Namely, as John saw on the Isle of Patmos when he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. We all know Martin Luther didn't want to translate the book of Revelation at all. At first, he refused to translate the Revelation. He couldn't do anything with what was written there. And today, we couldn't be without it. It's another time now. The time is far spent. The coming of the Lord is near. And therefore, everything what is written in this book must be preached. Then we have Paul, who said in Acts 20, verse 27, he said, I declared unto you the whole counsel of God. Then we have Brother Branham. And this we say very freely and openly. There was a man sent from God in our time. His name was William Branham. This we will not deny, because we are ordained to have part in that what God promised for this time. And what he is doing right now. May people say this is a sect. May they say he is a pestilence. May they say what they like. For us, it's still written. If I send someone to you and you receive him, then you receive me. God has still the say-so in his church. And if he has given the promise to send a prophet like Elijah, who was Elijah? He was calling for a decision of the people of God. He stood before the people on Mount Carmel. He didn't leave anyone out, not the Asherah priests, not the Baal priests, 400 here, 450 there. And the prophet was on the Mount Carmel, and he said, today the decision will be made who the true God is. And it was made. The fire fell. The decision was made. And God, the hearts of God's people were turned again to the Lord. That's how it must be. He shall turn the heart of the children. Not the heads, not the thoughts, not the intelligence. He shall turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. So that, as our brother said before, so that the last sermon is the way as the first was. in a total conformity with the Word of God. Then comes for us also that we have to preach in such a way that those who hear now God's Word, that they have the opportunity to be part of the overcomers. To be part of the overcomers. This is, of course, the difference between the first and the second resurrection. The difference between the called ones and the chosen ones. Some are ordained and chosen from before the foundation of the world. He who cannot believe it yet, let him read quickly from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3. It is just so important, brothers and sisters, that we don't take time to think about it, whether we are so kind enough to believe, but that we have the fear of God in us. And only if we read and hear God's word with reverence, then only God can speak to us through his word. There are people to whom God cannot even speak at all because they have their own thoughts while they read God's word. And this may not be this way. God revealed to us his thoughts in his word. And therefore, here, in Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And now comes the verse. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now I would have liked to hear an amen. Thank you. A loud amen. An inner agreement as the Son of God was foreordained before the foundation of the world to finish the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary, because God knew before he created man and the world, he knew that man is fallible and that he needs redemption. God, of course, doesn't plan in the time between. God planned before the foundation of the world. And brothers and sisters, if you can believe this today, then I can tell you, based upon the authority of the Word of God, ye have been chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. You have been called and foreordained by God to be transformed into the image of the Son of God. And John writes, we shall see him as he is, and we will be transformed into his image. One question. Where, in which city, in which country, in which church could I preach like this? Yes. And now we see why God has to call out. And this is again Revelation chapter 3. The last church age. The Lord stands before the door inside, singing is going on, inside, preaching is going on, everything is done inside, and he stands outside and knocks and says, if any man hear my voice, but the voice, of course, cannot be heard inside. The other people have their own voice, their own doctrine. The Lord can say nothing anymore inside there. And therefore he must call out to be independent. Please forgive me this word. God is above all. He is independent of all the religions. God didn't bring us a religion. He has given us eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, our preaching must include everything. The salvation of the soul, the forgiveness of sins, the reconciliation with God, the reconciliation with one another. And thereby we recognize whether we've experienced it personally, whether the reconciliation has become true in us, whether the forgiveness has become true, the grace, whether that has become true. Everybody can quote scriptures. Everyone can repeat it, can recite it. It's important that it becomes true what God promised in his word. And as we're reading here, in Jesus Christ, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings which God prepared for us in heaven. He blessed us already. That's how it is written here. And we say Amen to it. And we connect this Amen with the request, dear Lord, let it be manifest what you have said in your word. And he will manifest it. Before the return of Jesus Christ, it will take place. And even it would just be for a short time, but God is watching over his word, and he's never too late. Somebody laid on my desk in the office, he laid a pious German poem. Then every stanza, it says, at the end it says, that God never makes a mistake. Then again some words are written here, that God never makes a mistake. He never comes too late. He sees all, he knows all, also in your life. Maybe today some are here, of which it would apply. I'm reading, when my heart gets in desperation about undissolved questions, it will never give up hope in God's love. Because one could read on, God took care of us. I'm a bad reader. And when the glasses are not right, but what is it about now? It's about that we read some scriptures now, and that we receive them in us, saying yes to it with an inner agreement. Revelation 21 from verse 7. Revelation 21 verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh. The promise was given to the overcomers. And our Lord says, I have overcome the world. And John writes, your victory is the faith which has overcome the world. Then in Revelation 12, addressed to the crowd which is raptured in reference to the enemy, they have overcome him. Let us read it so that we know how it is written precisely. Revelation 12, we read
from,
yes, it's while going up. Let us read from verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Please, keep in mind what is written in the previous verses, that the male child was caught up to God and unto his throne, who will be born of the church, which is the woman, as symbolized in the scriptures. And then, verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And now comes the nice thing. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, whom he accused, overcame him. Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We may be part of them. Brothers and sisters, let us not look unto all the tribulations, upon all the trials. Israel has to walk the most difficult way which there is for a nation. And I'm asking you, was there one prophet who had to endure so much as our Lord? Has ever been done with one man what was done with our Lord? He was the most despised one, avoided by the respected persons, scoffed and mocked at, and stripped, hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, mocked. But it happened for our sakes. That what meant nothing for some means everything for us. But don't be discouraged. Don't give up hope. We must go through many tribulations to be purified and to stand our tests and trials by His grace. When we read here, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. We said it last night. Not only the baptism of our Redeemer, where obedience was required, but obedience unto the death on the cross. Let us be honest. Our obedience starts only in the moment where we were crucified with Christ. Everything else is a trying, an attempt, which we all can make. We can try it, and again try it. Except, we can say like Paul, I am crucified with Christ. I was in him so that he can be now in me. As by nature all were in Adam and came forth at their time, so we, seen by the seed, we were all in the Son of God, the original seed promised from the Garden of Eden, that the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. And to speak with Isaiah 53, when he will give his life for atonement, then he will see his seed and prolong his days, living forever. 213 times in the Bible, seed is in connection with posterity. Seed is posterity. Posterity is seed. The seed of Abraham are the descendants of Abraham. The seed of David are the descendants of David. And if we wanted to read, and there are the most wonderful scriptures, let me just read one from Psalm 22, so that you know what promise was given for the seed. Here it's written, namely, of the people that shall be born. What is a people that shall be born? It's said here in the Old Testament for the future, because Psalm 22 is that psalm which describes our Lord on the cross of Calvary. Here it's written, Psalm 22, depends on the translation, from verse 30 and 31. Most translations say, a seed shall serve him. Here it says, the posterity shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation, for the coming generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. I looked it up in another translation. The last sentence is there, a people that shall be born, which say he has done it. Brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful gospel, and we know in the Old Testament everything was said. Everything was said what is fulfilled in the New Testament. But here's the point. Only he who truly is the seed of God has the access to the seed, which is God's word. Because that's how it is written. The seed is the word of God. This is not only written once. This is written time and again. My eyes are falling now on Luke 8, verse 11. Luke 8, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Let us come back to the seed which has come up, to those who came forth as descendants. The dying of our Lord and Redeemer was worthwhile. He brought many sons to glory, and they are coming forth at their time. I read it to you from Hebrews, so that all who are not yet acquainted with the word of the scripture, that they just know it is written like this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was for a little while lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And now comes verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And the most tremendous is written in verse 11. For both, he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one Father. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be unto our God, are all of one Father. And therefore we can pray, our Father, who art in heaven. He is Father of all who became children. And brothers and sisters, now we are the children of God. And soon it shall appear what we shall be. We are hearing God's word not in vain. We are hearing it with a purpose to have part in that what God is doing right now. And if Brother Branham on the 11th of June 1933 at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the presence of about 4,000 people from the supernatural light, if he was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ, then we believe that God has taken his messengers and also the last one. But the message is left to us. The revealed promised word for this time was not only left to us, but I may add here, it was in the last 40 years, it became so alive and revealed to us in such a way as it was not even possible at the time of Brother Branham. I'm honest. When Brother Branham told me in June 1958 in Dallas, Texas, USA, he told me, Brother Frank, you will return with this message to Germany. What did Brother Frank in June 1958, what did he know of the message of the second coming of Christ, of the promise that God would send a prophet? And just to say it honestly here, we of course were part of the 13 million refugees and displaced persons. We never saw our home again. Yes. And Brother Frank emigrated. He has torn his passport into pieces and has thrown it into the sea to never return again. And then comes Brother Branham and says, you will return with this message to Germany. I don't want to go into detail, but this was one of the greatest sacrifices which I had to bring in my life in connection that the end-time message can be spread all over the world. Let us come quickly back, and I hope that all who were not yet baptized and who want to be baptized, that they make use of the opportunity today, that they get baptized, that all who want to be converted, that they convert, that all who want to be healed, that they receive the healing by faith. Everything is ready for us. Please believe it us. Even though we have to bring doctrine for the sake of the advanced, to use this word, nevertheless, we will still weep with those who weep, and will mourn with the mourners, and we will feel with the sick. We will still bow our knees together with you, sharing your trouble, sharing your sorrow, and together we'll bring it to the Lord. In Hebrews, Paul also wrote, we assume that it was Paul who wrote it. Here, in chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, just verse 11 and 12, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And then he lines out in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, because they were taught, they are known, people received, people believed, and did accordingly. And let us go on unto perfection. You can read on. Let us come back to the term overcoming. Now, just briefly, our time is up. Seven times in the book of Revelation 2 and 3, at the end of every church message, the promise is given to the overcomers. And here is, of course, the point which must be emphasized. The message goes to the whole church, on all who are part of the church. The promise is only for the overcomers, namely to those who within the church have hearkened to what the Spirit says unto the churches, who did not mix, who did not compare with denominations, but who deepened themselves into the Word, and who do not let any interpretation be valid anymore, but only God's original Word. And then we are again with a point which I have to mention all over the world, because everywhere we have the same subject, the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Bible prophecies in our time, the calling out of those who are part of the firstborn, the calling out of those who are hearing now what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And if I time and again have to say that I'm not interested in what church fathers have said, what councils decided, what have I to do with these things? What has the bride church of Jesus Christ to do with things which were introduced in the course of church history and which were declared as a dogma? The doctrine is here. The pattern is here. The word of God which remains forever is here. All the interpretations will pass away. I would like it. The sooner the better. That people are pulled away and loosed from what men have to say, and that they are bound to that what God has said in His Word. Here, just to put attention on this one now. Firstly, the church age is described. And after it was described and was brought to the people, then they have the opportunity to believe or to continue as before. And therefore, every time it says, for instance here, just to bring out this one point here, here it says in Revelation 2, verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Firstly, God describes the trouble, the deception in the church, that what is not in line with Him and His Word. Apostles turned out to be liars. There were no apostles at all, but they were misleading the people, sliding into the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And then the word is addressed to those who recognize that God speaks now directly and that a separation must take place. Some are believing these false apostles, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and so forth, and the others turn away from it and by this get the opportunity to overcome them, to abide in the Word. And this is time and again, this is time and again the climax in all church age messages. Maybe it must be said here, it is also not enough that we read or hear the seven church messages as Brother Branham preached it. We must, from the things which we read, from the things which we hear, we must hear the voice of God speaking to us. It must be a direct speaking of God to us through His Word. And only then can be fulfilled what is written here in verse 7, Revelation 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We have to close. The time is up. Brothers and sisters, I once again want to make clear, and the whole world shall hear it, the message entrusted to us by God contains all promises of God for the church in this time. Be it the teaching, be it the Godhead, baptism, everything. The complete message is a leading back, a bringing back into the original. And we place ourselves into the divine pattern. It doesn't make sense just to ask, do you believe the message? With this must be connected. Do you believe the word of God as it is written? Because this is the message which we received from him. That's how John writes it, and we declare it unto you. It's also known how several scriptures are misunderstood and are misinterpreted. So, it is also with the statements of Brother Branham. As I said before, also with the church, with the three comings of the Lord, there is need of divine revelation and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because only the Spirit of God leads really into all truth. So, and this one verse I still read to you from Romans chapter 8, that you know that we will overcome through him who strengthens us, that we may belong to the overcomers. The overall description, which applies to all of us, we have in Romans chapter 8, from verse 28. And before Paul is listing here everything of what will happen to us, he writes right at the beginning, and we know, Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Oh God in heaven, what a message, what a gospel. With God, everything has taken place already. We are already perfect in the presence of God. One question. From verse 31, it's written then what can happen to us. You can read it. And then in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who shall condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ. So forth and so forth. Then verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Maybe someone wants. It's impossible. It's the love of God. And the love is the bond of perfection, which never can be torn. Once again, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him who loved us. They have overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, how we could go back here to 1 John chapter 5, where it's also spoken of overcoming. All who are born of God overcome. That's how it is written. I read it to you. Trust the Lord. You are part of the overcomers. Receive it by faith. Believe it. And then it's yours. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. And then verse 4 and 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God, born of God. Also this, I will have to point out one day, in both languages, in Hebrew and in Greek, there's only one word for begetting and for being born. Only one word in both languages. Therefore, the translators, they have a hard time. Where shall they write begotten? Where shall they write born? Only the context can bring it out. But now, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now again back to verse 4. For whatsoever is begotten or born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory, your and my victory, the faith which God has given us, the faith which has become a revelation to us. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And our faith is the gift of God. Our Lord says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures said, of his belly rivers of living water will flow. And as we said last night, we are following our Lord in the way of obedience. Not only up to the baptism, we are following him up unto the Mount of Transfiguration to hear there. Because only there it was where our Lord gave the promise. Verily, I say unto you, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Whoever does not come with our Lord up unto the Mount of Transfiguration, whoever doesn't experience the supernatural glory of God, whoever does not hear what is being said there, he cannot believe it. And only those will hear it who were ordained by God from before the foundation of the world. Who were the disciples? Who were the three who went with the Lord, who were counted worthy to go with the Lord up to the Mount of Transfiguration? The three who were around the Lord. I repeat it. Only if we walk with the Lord the whole way of obedience and faith up unto the Mount of Transfiguration, that we see him like John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, in the glorified state, as the three saw him on the Mount of the Transfiguration. That's how John saw him in Revelation 1, walking amidst the seven golden lampstands. And only he who sees him like this hears him speak and receives what the Spirit says unto the churches. And by this he confirms to be part of the overcomers. To then behold the face of the Lord our God. May he bless us from Zion. May he give revelation. May he give faith. May he give obedience. May he give us all overcoming power. But as sure, I say it once again, as sure as the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to us by His grace, so sure the faith was given to us by revelation. And we may believe as the scripture said, without any fanaticism, just being thankful that the lot has fallen on us and that a great inheritance is waiting for us. May the Lord bless us and be with us. In Jesus' name, Amen. We stand up and we sing once again the chorus, Just As I Am. We are bowing our heads and remain in silent prayer. At this opportunity, I would like to give also the admonition here that all fathers and mothers watch over their children, that also no distraction takes place here on the premises, that we just know we are in the presence of God. We are hearing God's word. That we leave behind all unnecessary conversations and that we ponder on the words which we heard so that they don't return void. As we are having our heads bowed, let me ask whether some are here for whom we can pray, who wish to dedicate their lives to the Lord. Do we have some? God bless. Everywhere the hands are going up. Are there some prayer requests also in our midst? Whatever it might be. We were reading it in Romans 8. Several things can come our way. Persecution, accusation, trials of every kind. Please keep it in your hearts. All things work together for good for those who love God. Think of the crowning at the end. That through Him who loved us, we are more than conquerors. His is the victory. His is the power. His is the glory. And everything what is His is ours. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, blessed from God, by God. Now the question, who wants to be baptized? Raise your hands. Do we have some who wish to be baptized? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, in the moment I see 4 persons. After this service, the baptism will take place. And then when Brother Rus closes, we will call those who want to be baptized, we call them to the front. Now, we will pray for all who are sick, who need forgiveness, and who want to have healing. Now the question, who has the desire to get everything revealed by God? That the mind doesn't have to make efforts anymore, but that it just flows to us, that we have the connection to God, that we have it in such a way that revelation just flows to us by His grace. At every word which we hear, that not one own interpretation creeps in anymore, but that a crystal clear proclamation brings forth a pure bride, a word bride, which has the nature of the bridegroom and which is prepared unto the glorious day of the coming of the bridegroom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard your word. And we have been placed upon revelation ground. You have taken us into the Holy of Holies. And we at this place and worldwide are gathered in your name to hear your words, to believe them, and to get them revealed. Precious Lord, we are glorifying the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. And we thank thee for the gracious visitation of thy mercy. Precious Lord, take us higher unto the mountain, only in fellowship with you, O God. Take us unto the Mount of Transfiguration, that we hear the promises in the right way, that we believe them. Dear Lord, you have spoken to us. You have revealed yourself to us. We thank thee that you saved the lost, that you healed the sick, and that you have set free the captives. Blessed and praised be thou, Lord our God. For you alone are worthy to receive the praise, the honor, and the glory, now and forever. Precious Lord, you ever faithful God, I thank thee that you counted me worthy to bring your word to your church. I thank thee, heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ, that you are addressing the word in our midst to the bride. I thank thee for the calling out, for revelation. I thank thee. Bless all. Bless all, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lasst uns jetzt noch gemeinsam einstimmen.
Let us now tune in together and thank the Lord with a loud voice. We want to thank the Lord God, Heavenly Father. Brother Rus, come and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank thee with all our hearts for your mighty word, for the message this morning, Lord. You have spoken to us through your word and through thy spirit. Strengthen all. Direct every heart. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come to you with everything, telling you everything. Receive the honor, the glory, and the praise, and the adoration from the depth of our hearts, especially those who raised their hands and who need prayer. May you bless them from the riches of your grace. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy.